Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
I'm going to challenge you with the Word of God this morning. We're moving on in our series, and I want to make this a series that is very spiritual. It's godly truth, but I want to make it a series that you can put it into practice, right? Put it into practice, use, and just be so blessed about it. So the title of our series is Moving On 2018, right? Moving on into a year of good things. And that's what 28 is all about. And today I'm going to talk about releasing your potential. Releasing your potential. Let's pray before we begin. Please bow your heads. We just agree with me. Thank you, Father, for the Word of God. You said in your Word that faith comes by hearing a message. The message is heard through the Word of God. As we hear this message, help us to believe it. But the Bible says it's not enough just to believe. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without action is dead. So, Lord, help us to hear and believe today and to activate our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Realizing your potential. There are over 6 billion people alive on the planet today, right? Over 6 billion people. And each one is an original design. Each one is unique. Each one is special. Each is blessed with an abundance of potential. But most people are living don't realize the potential that they have. I believe that most people are living with hidden talents, untapped abilities, undiscovered gifts, undeveloped skills, and unused strengths. You see, God gave us all these skills, abilities, talents, strengths, gifts to be used for His purpose. God is working in us to bring about His purpose on this earth, and He wants to do it through us. And He's given us all we need to live out His purpose in our life. Amen? Okay, first scripture, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. All He has given to us is all we need for life and for godliness. For life and for godliness. Now, He has given us all we need for life. Now, He's not talking about eternal life. He's talking about the here and now. He's talking about our lifetime, right? He's given us all we need for life. And then it says He's given us all we need for godliness. A godly life is a God-honoring life. He has given us all we need to live a God-honoring life. Amen? Amen? Let me take you right to the Bible. Second book in the Bible is called Exodus. I'm talking about a guy named Moses. Moses was born. He was a Hebrew. He was Israelite. He was one of God's people. He was born in a very ungodly place called Egypt. Now, I won't give you a lot of history, but in the people of God, Israel, the Hebrews, were living in this country called Egypt under Pharaoh, and they had, as they were living there, they were multiplying like crazy. They were vigorous in their population. In fact, they were growing so much and so fast that the Egyptians and Pharaoh were afraid of them. Say, you know, what if we had an enemy that came against us in war? You know, these Hebrews, they might just turn against us. So we got to do something. So they put tight controls on them. They made them slaves. They subject them to to bondage, and they put them to work in making bricks and out in the fields, and they treated them severely, the Bible says. They treated them brutally. Their life was miserable, and they lived in poverty and slavery and bondage and oppression. And that's the time when Moses was born. And it was a time when Pharaoh decided to stem the tide of the Hebrew population. Let's send out an edict. Every single baby that's a male baby that is born is going to be killed. We're going to drown them in the Nile River. And so they had this this is the time when Moses was born. And so his parents raised him and saw that he was, the Bible says, they saw that he was not ordinary. That there was a special, there was a call of God on Moses' life. So they raised him, his mom raised him for 3 months and realized, I can't hide him anymore. So what she did, she put him into a basket and she put it onto the Nile River, stuck it among some reeds. And the very same day in which Pharaoh's daughter was coming down to bathe with her attendants. And guess what? Pharaoh's daughter found this baby. She unwrapped the covering and she looked at the baby and she had compassion on that baby. Long story short, Moses grows up in Pharaoh's court. He's raised in Pharaoh's court. Now he knows he's not an Egyptian. He knows he's an Israelite. He's a Hebrew. And as he's grown up, he's seen the bondage and the suffering of his people. And he knows he's got this internal struggle with them, right? And so one day he sees an Egyptian beating up a fellow Hebrew. And so he does something. He looks left, right, and he sees nobody is watching. He kills the Egyptian and he buries him and hides him. But Pharaoh finds out. And Pharaoh is really angry at him and is out to get him. And so, to kill him. And so Moses flees. He runs for his life in terror. See, even when he was growing up, he thought, you know what? There's something, as I'm growing up, I'm in this place, I'm Pharaoh's palace, I'm being raised up and educated, I have a purpose. And he thought, my purpose has something to do to rescue my people. But when he killed that Egyptian, all that notion disappeared. He ends up in the desert, he's there for 40 years, he relegates himself, he says, this is where I'm going to die. And he ends up being a shepherd, taking care of his father-in-law's flocks. He's there for another 40 years. And then after 40 years in that desert of taking care of sheep, day after day, God appears to him in the form of the burning bush. Remember that story? Moses sees this bush and it doesn't stop burning, so he's curious. He goes up to it and he looks at it, and then God starts to speak to him out of that burning bush. He says, Moses, and he's amazed. He falls to his feet and he realizes it's God, it's Yahweh that's speaking to him. And then God starts speaking and says, Moses, he says, I've heard the cry of my people. Surely I've heard their cries. I've seen their suffering. I've seen their misery. I've seen them in this iron smelting furnace, and I want to deliver them. I want to bring them out of that place. And we pick up in verse 8 in Exodus chapter 3. God says, so I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and to lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile land and spacious land. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. Moses responds, but Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people Israel out of Egypt? He says, but Lord, I can't even speak. I have a speech impediment. I am slow in speech. But if you read the rest of the story, 40 incredible chapters in the book of Exodus talks all about how God used a man named Moses, and he led his people, Israel, out of that iron smelting place, and he brought them into an incredible 40-year journey right to the edge of the promised land. God used a man called Moses. All that Moses had, all that had happened to him, all his experiences, right? God, all the times that humbled him, God could use. Amen? Which says to me, God does not waste our experiences. God does not waste our sorrows, does He? There's a scripture. I love the scripture in Acts chapter 17. This is a different version. It says this: He is God. He is the God who made the world. He also made everything in it. He doesn't need anything. Instead, He Himself gives life and breath to all people. He also gives them everything else that they have, everything that they need. From one man, He made all the people of the world. Now they live all over the earth. He decided exactly when they should live, and He decided exactly where they should live. In other words, the Bible says, you were born at the right time, at the right place, in the right circumstances. Amen? For God to use you for His purposes. You are the right age. You are the right color. You are the right gender. You have the right experiences for God to use you for His glorious purposes. Amen? There are no disqualifications in God. And you need to know that you have an abundance of potential. You have everything you need through God, through Jesus Christ this morning. Amen? You know, maybe if there's somebody here saying, but Pastor, I made so many mistakes. I've blown it. I made so many mistakes. But you know what? God takes the ugly, He takes all that negative stuff that happened in a lifetime, and He can turn it around for good. Listen to what He says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that God causes everything to what? To work together. Causes what? Some things? Most things? Everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. If you're here this morning, you have a call of God in your life. You are called, you are loved by God, you qualify for this scripture. Amen? You don't need to have something that someone else has. You don't need to be envious of somebody else. They cannot take your potential. You own your own potential. Right? And here's another thing. You can't create your own potential. You can't create your own potential. You can't determine your own potential, but you can discover it. Right? You can discover your potential. So the question is, how do we discover our potential? How do we release our fullest potential in our lifetime? How do we do that? I'm going to give you some very practical, powerful points. Number one. Here's number one. Are you ready for this? Here's how you do it. You consult your Creator. Didn't I give you that point last week? I'm preaching the same message. And you didn't even notice, right? No. Consult your Creator. Consult your Creator. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, acknowledge that the Lord is God. Acknowledge Him. He made us and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Seek the one who made you to be this certain way that He called you to be. Amen? Yeah. You know, we tell our kids, and we've done this too, and maybe you've done this too, you tell your kids, you can be anything you want to be. Have you ever done that? You can be anything you want to be. Is that right? No, it's not right. It's not right. You cannot be anything you want to be. But you can be everything that God created you to be. Amen? Everything God created you. There are some things that I can do. And there are definitely some things and a lot of things I can't not do. I'm not supposed to do, right? To find out what I'm supposed to do, I got to go back to the one who created me. Go back to God. Go back to Jesus. Find out what you were created for. Amen? You know, just before Christmas, I had to get a new cell phone. My contract was up. And the speaker wasn't working. And I was just ready to throw it in the garbage. So I got another iPhone, just got an iPhone 7. That's good enough for me. And you know what? But I use my iPhone in my car, and I always connect it to my Bluetooth, right? Because a lot of times when you're taking trips, you can utilize your time talking to people, especially if you're going on a long trip, somebody phones, you can talk, right? So I thought, okay, I got to connect my new phone to my Bluetooth so I can use it in my car, which is quite regularly. So I say, okay, one day I decided I'm going to do that. Because every time I want to use it, oh yeah, I got to connect it. So I did the stuff I'm supposed to do, did my iPhone, connect to Bluetooth, did all that, and I thought, okay, now it's going to work. Now work, come on, work. And it doesn't work. I said, I remember a couple of years ago I did this. Wasn't that bad, just punch a few buttons. So I went to my car, touched the screen, hit a few buttons, device not connected. Other devices connected. And I just got frustrated. I just gave up. I said, oh, do it next time. Well, the next time rolled around, I got in my car, I tried it again. I was so frustrated. I couldn't get it to work. It just wouldn't connect. And then suddenly I hear this voice that comes into my mind, and it says this, why don't you consult the manufacturer's manual, dummy? And it wasn't my wife, it was the Holy Spirit, right? And so I thought, good idea. Open the glove box, pull it out, connect to Bluetooth, do this, do that, punch that, punch in the code, 1, 2, 3, 4, boom. Wow. You gotta consult the manufacturer's manual, right? The Word of God, the Bible, is our manual for life. The Bible is the Word of life. And the Word of life is Jesus, right? And if you want to find out what your purpose is, you got to go back to Him, to Jesus, right? And that's what Paul says. You got to find Jesus. You got to go to Him. Remember this verse last week, Philippians 4, 3 verse 14. Paul says, by no means do I count myself an expert in all of us, but I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward. To who? To what? To Jesus. And I'm off and running. And I'm not turning off. I'm not turning back. God is beckoning us on to Jesus. 2018 is the year. Then we run to Jesus. Right? To Jesus. To His plan. To His purpose. To His will for our life. Amen? His will for our lives. Our lives are so precious, aren't they? Way too precious to waste not doing the will of God and living for Jesus. Living out His plan, His purpose, His will for our life. Amen? Number one, you gotta connect to your Creator. If you want to find your potential, you want to release your potential, if you want to enjoy good things in 2018, connect to your Creator. Number two, you gotta become an avid lifelong learner. Don't stagnate in your learning. The most successful people, it's well recognized, are people who are continuous learners. You got to learn. Listen to what Solomon says in Proverbs 4 verse 7. Get wisdom. Don't cost all you have. Get understanding. You know, I believe there are many, you know, I believe, no, there are. If you go to the Chapters bookstore, you see there are many people who think that they have all the answers to help you live a successful, happy life, right? There are people that have writing books. They're trying to give you advice. They're holding seminars, and they're making lots of money, you know? And they seem to be so smart, and they seem to be so wise. But if you start listening to them and reading their books, you realize most of them don't even talk about Jesus. They don't even mention God. They don't talk about the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of, you know, the spirit of wisdom and knowledge. They don't talk about eternal life. You know what it is? It's the wisdom. When they leave God out of the picture, it's called the wisdom of the world. And what does the Bible say about the wisdom of the world? It's foolishness in God's sight. Amen. One of the greatest enemies of today, that wars against us is called the enemy of distraction. You know, it's distraction. It's all the voices. It's all the chatter that you hear. you know, it's different people telling us to do different things. I want to tell you, you know, not every voice is important. In fact, most voices aren't even worth listening to, right? And I think we got to start to lean into God in a way that we've never done before. You know, to gain understanding, what's the first thing you got to do? You got to shut off the other voices, right? And you got to go to hear the voice of God. Listen to what wise man Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 4. He said in verse 1, this is the Message version. Listen, friends, to some fatherly advice. Sit up and take notice so you'll know how to live. I'm giving you good counsel. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. When I was a boy in my father's house, when I was a boy at my father's knee, the pride and joy of my mother, he would sit me down and drill me. Take this to heart. Do what I tell you. Live. Sell everything and buy wisdom. Forage for understanding. Don't forget one word. Don't deviate an inch. Never walk away from wisdom. She guards your life. Love her. She keeps her eye on you. I love the way that he personifies wisdom. Above all and before all, do this. Get wisdom. Write this at the top of your list. Get understanding. Throw your arms around her. Believe me, you won't regret it. Never let her go. She'll make your life glorious. She'll garland your life with grace. She'll festoon your days with beauty. Well, I love the way that's written, right? Embrace wisdom, right? You know, when I was a kid, when I was in my 20s and I was single, I was working as an advertising representative for a television station. And I remember it was in my early days as a career in sales. And I was reading all kinds of different books on how to be successful. I mean, I read some great authors like Dale Carnegie, Og Mandino, Napoleon Hill, and a whole bunch of others. And I remember visiting a client, a Christian business guy, and I knew this guy was successful. And so I asked him, I said, Ken, what's the best book on success that I could ever read? What's the best author? And he kind of smiled. I just remember right away he said, best book, best author, Bible. He says, read your Bible. Now, I was a believer. He said, and then he said, read Proverbs every single day. There are 30 Proverbs. Read one every single day and keep on reading it right through the entire year. Read the whole book of Proverbs for 12 months out of the year. And he says, and not only will you gain success in your career, it'll bring success into your life, right? You know, the Bible also says, seek first the kingdom of God, right? Jesus said that. Seek first the kingdom of God. When he said, seek first the kingdom of God, he was saying, seek to do life God's way. Do it God's way, right? You know, Proverbs is a book that's full of wisdom, full of practical advice, full of dealing with life and dealing with people. It's an incredible book. It helped me immensely in sales. And it really helped me to be a success in my career. You know, Proverbs to me is like gold. It's like incredible. Gold, gold, gold. In fact, it's even more precious than gold, the Bible says, right? The Word of God. Proverbs 4, verse 20 says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my words. It says, pay attention. Pay attention. You know, you read the Word. If you read the Bible, you'll find that the Bible is full of pay attentions. Why is that? Because there are so many distractions in life. Like I said, so many distractions, so many different opinions, so many different voices, so much chatter, so much noise. That's why it says, pay attention. And I think school teachers, educators would probably understand this. You know, trying to get your students to pay attention. Right, Alan? You know, it's so important, right? And it's the same for us. We've got to, you know, increase our attention span for the Word of God, right? You've got to lean into becoming a lifelong learner in the Lord, right? You know, so the question is, why is it so important? Why is it so important to pay attention? Well, in verse 22, Proverbs 4, it says, for they are life. Right? They are life. Listen carefully. They are life to those who find them, and health to one's whole body. Now, notice it didn't say health to one's body. It says whole body. See, we are holistic people. We are body, soul, and spirit. It brings health to your body, it brings health to your soul, and it brings health to your spirit. It makes you healthy mentally, healthy physically, healthy spiritually, and healthy emotionally. That's the power of God's word. Pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention to God's word. Because they are life to you. They are health to your entire body. Amen? That's why God told Joshua, he's standing on the edge of the promised land. He's ready to enter into the good things, the promises of God. And he says to Joshua, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in everything, in all you do. Did I just raise the value of the word to you this morning? I want to raise the value of the word because the word is Jesus, right? How powerful is the word of God? One of the greatest goals that we need to set for 2018 is to focus, is to lean into learning God's word. Amen? Second one. Number three, if you want to release the potential, if you want to fulfill your purpose, number three, do your work with excellence. Do your work with excellence. I just told somebody that this morning. I told Jessica, she's heading into final exams and school right now. I said, press into it. Do it with excellence, right? Do it with excellence. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. The Bible is saying push past the tendency to just be average in what you do. Do what you do better than how you've done it before. Amen? Your potential is literally released when you become uncomfortable with doing that same old task, that same old job, in the same way and at the same level. Right? When you become dissatisfied with the same old, then you start to release your potential. Here, you know, remember that saying? If you do the same thing in the same way, you will always get the same results. Right? Isn't that true? Here's a good example. If you're an average husband, lots of husbands here, right? If you're an average husband, or let's say you're an average to mediocre, or mediocre to average husband, right? If you're satisfied with that, then all you're ever going to have is a mediocre, average to mediocre marriage, right? Isn't that right? That might be okay with you, but I guarantee it won't be okay with your wife. Will it? Come on, wife, say amen. Give me an amen. Right? Yeah, thank you. And he's not even here today. He should be here. Bernie's not here. So he's going to listen to this message. You know? Listen. If you have the potential to be a better husband, or to be a better man, or let's say to be a better employee, then why not step up to the next level, right? Why not step up to the next level? If you have the potential to have a better life, then why don't you do something about it, right? Why don't you do something about it? See, it's not enough just to show up at your job and expect to get promoted. It's when you show up and you do more than expected, that gets promoted. Isn't that right? That gets promoted. God promotes excellent. He rewards excellence through your employer, right? If you got the potential for a better life, then do something about it. Proverbs 22:29. Do you see someone skilled in their work? They will serve before kings. They will not serve before obscure men. All kinds of examples. There are examples of people in here. You're being promoted. You're rising to the top of your careers because you're doing your job with excellence and diligence, and you're reliable and you're teachable and you're faithful. One of the greatest examples in the Bible, I think, is Joseph. Remember Joseph? He was sold into slavery. He becomes a slave in Egyptian commander's house, Potiphar's house. And he serves so well in that house. He's just a servant, just a slave. But he does so well. He's so reliable. He does his work with excellence that Potiphar promotes him as second under him and makes him ruler over his household. He's falsely accused. He gets sent to prison. The warden sees his diligence, his faithfulness, his excellence, his attitude, his servitude. And he rises in position. And the prisoner also becomes a ruler in the prison. The warden says, okay, I'll make you second under my command. Wow. And literally he does his job so well, he becomes a second. He's literally the ruler of all of Egypt, second under command under Pharaoh. He rises to that position, right? God rewards faithfulness, diligence, and excellence. Listen, 18 is a year of good things. Maybe you're listening, you know, I need to have a better job. I need more finances. You know, it starts by doing what you do with excellence, right? You know, question, what would happen if the worship team came every Sunday morning and, you know, like half an hour before the service started, looked around and said, well, where's our team? Oh, you're here. Okay, you're here, so you're going to be our team this morning, right? And what if they said, well, we've got 15 minutes. Let's pick a few songs out. Let's go through them once if we can. And let's just do it. What would happen to our worship, right? What would our praise and worship be like, right? Good question, right? Another question. What would happen if I came to church on Sunday mornings and just before I preached, I would say to you, well, I really didn't have much time to prepare my message, so let's just let the Holy Spirit lead. Let's just let the Lord lead this morning, right? What if I did that all the time, regularly? You know what? You wouldn't want to stick around after worship. No matter how bad worship was. No, worship is always good, right? You'd want to leave, right? You wouldn't want to be in this place. You wouldn't stick around. You know, and I wouldn't want to be a part of a church that's like that, right? I wouldn't want to be there. So why do you come? I'll tell you why you come. You come because it's planned and it's prepared, right? You come, the screens are already lit up, the sound levels are there, the lighting is there, you know, the church is clean, everything is all ready to go. That's why you come, right? You come because you see. And you come because you see the heart and the passion of what we do, right? You come because we work our work with excellence. We do it with the best of our abilities. Amen? And God rewards excellence. You know, when you increase your efforts, when you do what you do with excellence, you literally step up to the next level and you release your potential. Amen? Number four. Just a couple more, I'm done. Number four. Make the most of your opportunities. Make the most of your opportunities. I believe this year is going to be a year when we're going to have opportunities like we've never had them in other years, right? I believe opportunities are going to come. You've got to have your eyesight. You've got to be ready to recognize the opportunities, right? Maximize your opportunities. Walk through the doors that God is going to open up for you, right? Maximize your opportunities. Walk through the doors God is going to open up for you. Well, you say, well, I never get opportunities. It seems in my life, all I've got is opposition. I never get opportunities. You know what? Opportunities started for you the moment you were born. If you were born in this country, you were born in a land of opportunity, right? This country, this province is a place of opportunity. Just to ask our African friends or our friends from other nations that have come from the places of no opportunity, great opposition, and they come to this, and they're just wide-eyed and say, wow, opportunity. and they put their effort and their energies and their faith in God, and suddenly, wow, they become owners, they become, you know, they be advancing in their careers, they become great witnesses for Jesus. Why? Because they maximize their opportunities. God is going to give us opportunities. We had a, I remember one of our pastor friends, she pastors this church that we know, and with her husband, and she shared a story about years ago, this young girl came up to her and said, you know, I've got this investment opportunity, and it sounds really good, and some of my friends saying, you know, I should invest this large sum of money. I've scraped together my savings, and what do you think about it, Pastor? You know what she's, and she said, no, don't do it. Don't do it. You're going to lose all your money. You're going to go broke and bankrupt. You know what? She could have become a millionaire today. That stock was Starbucks. Wow. You know? How many of you here can say that I missed an opportunity in life? I have missed an opportunity. Right? Almost all of us can say we've missed an opportunity. Maybe it wasn't a lost opportunity. Maybe it was an investment, or maybe it was an opportunity to advance in your careers. Maybe it was to shift gears and get into something else. Maybe it was an opportunity to start a ministry that you sensed that God was calling you to do and telling you to do. Maybe it was an opportunity to get into a relationship that was a godly one, but you were a little bit afraid because you had some, you know, you've had disappointments in relationships and you stepped out of some of those. Maybe it was just a friendship, or maybe it was a lifelong partnership thing. You know, we're going to face opportunities, and we're also going to face oppositions in those opportunities, aren't we? Right? So, here's what Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 says. Conduct yourself with wisdom in your interactions with outsiders, non-believers. Make the most of each opportunity, treating it as something precious. There are all kinds of opportunities that are going to come your way. And there are definitely going to be divine opportunities when you have an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. And the Bible says that don't miss that opportunity. The reason why you're here, the reason why we exist as a church, the reason why you're still here on this earth is to reach people for Jesus Christ. That's why we exist. That's why City Light exists. That's your mission statement. To reach people for Jesus Christ, one person at a time. Right? That's why we exist. Don't miss the opportunities to tell people about Jesus. The greatest purpose on earth is to tell someone about Jesus and see them come to Christ. And God calls it the Great Commission. And it's the greatest purpose and the greatest reason why we are here. You can achieve and take advantage of all kinds of opportunities, but God is saying right here, don't miss the opportunity to tell someone and who doesn't know about Jesus. Tell them of the good news. Amen? Amen? Next point, in that sub point in this, don't miss the opportunity. And I think this is good. Don't miss the opportunity because of the opposition. Sometimes the opposition is the opportunity. Sometimes the opposition is the opportunity. I'll take you right back to the Bible, to another guy in the Bible. Very important guy named David, King David. King David literally comes on the scene, the biblical scene, when he's about 17 years old, right? And he's shepherding, he's looking over his father's flocks in the fields. And he's faithful, he's reliable, you know, he's doing what he's supposed to do, right? He's doing the small things, but God is setting him up for greater things, isn't he? Right? And so one day his father comes to him and says, David, I want you to take that donkey, saddle it up. I want to give you some bread or some cheese. And I want you to take it to your brothers. And they're in Saul's army, right? And so go and take. So David takes all that stuff to his brothers. And when he arrives on the scene, the battle lines are drawn. Here's Israel's army, God's people on one side of the valley. The valley's called Elah. On the other side are the armies of the Philistines, God's people's greatest armies. Philistine, by the way, that word Philistine, that name Philistine means serpent, devil, right? And there's this warfare, and there's a standoff of 40 days. They're not fighting, and they're just, you know, bantering back and forth. And when David rises on the scene, he sees his brothers, and he sees the entire armies of Israel cringing in fear, because the Philistine champion, Goliath, comes out every single day, and he roars his insults and defiance, you know, against the armies of God. He said, "Give me a man to fight. Give me a man to fight." He's never been defeated. He's close to 10 feet tall, 9 feet, 6 inches, or 8 inches tall. And he's defiant. He says, "Give me a man to fight. If he defeats me, then we'll submit to you. We become your servants. We'll just give up. But if I defeat your champion, then you submit to us." And he roars his defiance. And just as David comes on the scene, Goliath is roaring his defiance. His brothers and the armies of Israel literally back up. They see the opposition in the form of a giant. David saw differently. He saw a giant of an opportunity, and he ran to it, right? They ran away from him, he ran to his opportunity. Amen? So the question is this: what would happen if David had backed away and he had ran because he saw the opposition? What would have happened to David's life? What would the Bible be like? What was his history be like, right? But here's the thing about David. When David faced that giant, he did not come unprepared. He was not unprepared. In fact, Saul questioned him, "Are you be able to fight this guy?" David said, Listen, I'm a shepherd. I'm as in my father's field. I know how to take care of the flock." He said, "You know, not only that," he says, "you know, I had to defend my flock." He said, I came against the lion, and I came against the bear, and I took him out." He says, "This giant is going to be just like them. I killed the lion, I killed the bear, I'm going to kill this guy too," right? And he did exactly that, right? You know, I believe that 2018 is a year when we need to win some battles, don't we? We need to win some battles. We need to experience some successes, right? And we maybe even need to develop some new skills. But I believe that 2018 will be a year in which we can see the blessings of God come through, because we were able to press through the opposition and take a hold of the opportunity. Amen? Amen? You know, just like David, it's the one thing about David, David recognizes God was with him, right? I want to tell you that whatever you're going through this year, God is with you. Remember the three men in the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were being thrown into the fire, you know? Here's the thing about God. God didn't just let them go through that fiery experience by himself. What did he do? He got right in them, right in there with them in the fire, right? And God is with you no matter what you're going through in the fire, and he'll bring you out of that place, right? You read the rest of that story. Read that story. It's an incredible story. I think, where is that story? I better look it up. Okay, incredible story. The Bible is full of stories of the victories of God through people who did not give up, saw the opportunities, and pressed through. Number five, last one. Be a contributor, not a consumer. Be a contributor, not a consumer. Life is not just about me, me, me. We've got to deal with this thing called the entitlement mentality. That entitlement mentality isn't just with young people. I see it in almost every age group today. Entitlement mentality. Me, me, me. Right? You really see it, especially when your teenager opens the fridge door. He looks at it and says, "Where's the milk? Mom, you forgot to buy the milk." Right? See, maturity is being other people centered. Maturity, God wants us to grow up and be other people centered. Maturity is when you start caring for other people than just yourself, right? In fact, he tells us right in the word in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to" what? "All people." That's not That's not all. Now listen to the last part. Listen to the second part of that. Especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Who is that? Look around you. Are you part of this house? This is your family of believers. If you want to start being a contributor instead of a consumer, start right in the house. Start giving to the house. Start serving to the house. Start volunteering. Start doing your part in the house. Start there. God is seen. Be good, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Here's the one thing about serving in a church. I believe every person should be serving in a church. You can serve in other big endeavors outside the church. First place you need to serve is right here. There's a place for you to serve. We could use more servants, more volunteers, right? And we can use more leaders. This is where you need to start. Amen? Be an investor. Be an investor in someone else's future. Don't stay a consumer, because you have within you the potential to be a blessing to the world. Amen? Finish with one scripture. This is out of the Old Testament, Leviticus 26, verse 10. And it says, "You will be still eating last year's harvest when you will have to move it out to make room for the new." Did you get that? Releasing potential means that you have to give what you have right now to make room for God to give you more. Start now, right? Let's move on from being a consumer to a contributor. Amen? Amen. Say with me. Move on. Say it again. Move on. Move on to. Let's bring it up. Thanks, PowerPoint person. Move on to connect with your creator. Move on to be an avid lifelong learner. Move on to do your work with excellence. Move on to make the most of the opportunity that God is going to bring your way. And move on to be a contributor, not a consumer. If you agree with that, say amen. 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 Let's bow your heads. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want everybody to stand this morning. Can we all stand? Thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace. Thank you, Lord, for your favor. Thank you for your goodness towards every single person here. Amen. Will you pray with me this morning? Will you pray for yourself these words? Okay? And pray it with faith, like you really mean it, right? And pray it out loud, okay? You ready? Pray these words. Father God, open my eyes to see your extravagant goodness and to see your favor for me. You are God. You're my Father. And you have planned good things for me. Help me to take the limits off you. Help me to take the limits off myself. To believe you for breakthroughs that I need and I desire this year. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you, Lord. Just keep your, just for a minute, just keep standing. Just keep, and bow your heads. You know what I want to say today? I know just about most of you, but there might be someone here today. You need a new beginning. You need a new start in your life. The Bible says you must be born again. To be born again is literally to have a new beginning, a new start. A new start with Jesus, who promised you I came to give you life and that abundantly. New life starts first simply by believing. Believing that Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sins. And then just by receiving, just inviting Christ into your heart to be Lord and Savior. If you have not done that before, you need to do it today. Or maybe you're someone here. Maybe you've drifted away from God. Maybe you've lost your passion for God. You know, today, I'd like you to say that prayer to come back to Jesus again. So if you're here today and you need a beginning, new beginning, or if you're here today to come back and return to Jesus, can you pray this prayer out loud? In fact, I want everybody to pray it, and we're going to pray this prayer out loud. Are you ready? Let's pray this out, God. This prayer out loud. Father in heaven, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I believe that Jesus was crucified on the cross and that he was buried. And I believe he rose from the death and the grave, and he is alive today. Today I receive Jesus into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life forever. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. And while you're just standing here, if you said that prayer for the first time, will you please raise your hand and just acknowledge it? Thank you, I see that prayer. Anybody else? I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Three people there. Hand here. Anybody else? Over here. You said that prayer. First time. You received Jesus. He's going to have a brand new beginning. Oh, you've been far away from God. Okay? Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We have something to give you. You raise your hand for a brand new beginning. God has a new journey, a journey, a step. There's another step for you to take, and we're going to show you what that step is. Welcome to the kingdom.